It's always good to be back home and to remember a lot of the people who were there in years gone by that were faithful people. As far as we know, they had heaven in their views and on their mind, and they've gone on to be in that fair city. And good to be back with you here at Crockett tonight. I hope you'll enjoy the class study that we did with them this morning regarding the idea of being a person serving God's way and His will instead of our own way of life, because it was a lesson that was planned out to do that sort of thing, and the importance that God put on preachers, becoming preachers, and being sent by others to teach the gospel message of Christ Jesus. And then the sermon itself was on rearing children that love the ways of the Lord, and how to do that sort of thing, and be an example as well as a follower of the teaching in the Bible regarding how to love, how to be people of love. I begin with the idea of that tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. in reference to the matter of love. And it says there in verse number 8 regarding this particular matter that there are certain qualifications of that way of love. It says, charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. The idea of the gospel message being proclaimed fully and completely was in God's mind that it would be delivered. And as it was delivered, it would be fulfilling the ideals that he had in mind for people to live a certain way of life. And look what he says regarding this idea of love, verse 4. Suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Nor does it behave itself unseemly, but seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. When a person is involved with a way of life that is described in Proverbs 6 and verse 34, as jealousy is the rage of a man. It is an anger that is within that individual when he is jealous. When he finds jealousy of his friends, or jealousy of their career, or jealousy of their money, jealousy of their house, jealousy of his wife, jealousy, that desire part of life, it begins to work within that individual's heart and life. And it is described as a jealousy that is terrible. Song of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 6 has the young lady's brothers that are noted that jealousy comes about, and jealousy is a corrupting thing, and that she's not ready to marry, she's not ready to find her love, and so forth, so on. She assures that it is not from an act of jealousy on her part that she's trying to do this. It is a matter of love that she has in her heart. Love that they do not see, they do not recognize, because they are jealous of her. When jealousy is a part of someone's life, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that we compare ourselves with ourselves, and we are not wise. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's take a look at what it says there regarding this matter in chapter 10 and verse 12. In 2 Corinthians 10 at verse 12 it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." He says regarding this matter, "They boast of things without measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." He says, "We stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, as also in the preaching of the gospel of Christ." He's saying, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, our other men's labors. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. For he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For him that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth is the one approved. We want to have the love of the Lord in our hearts. We want to have the assurance of the Lord watching every step that we make and every way of decision that we do. We want to have that, not rage within our hearts, for jealousy is the rage of a man. There is description given of jealousy that is unfounded in the book of Numbers in chapter 4 and 5. A distinctive testing that is done by the priest of God of a woman who is accused by her husband, but it is not provable. It's not true. It's not accurate. It's not provable in one sense. It's not true. It's not accurate in another sense. And the scripture there describes a situation where the priest calls her to a tent of jealousy and describes to her this situation, that she has bitter water to drink. And that bitter water will be okay if she is not truly guilty. But if she is guilty, there is a rottenness that continues within her body and within her life. She is no more to be honored as a faithful bride. Though not proven, God knows. And therefore, the situation was founded by God saying to that woman, "You're not right in my sight." The husband, on the other hand, if he is a person who decides within himself because he sees a friendly disposition between his wife and some other man along the way, as they traveled in that day and time, there might be someone who helped an individual across a path or across a brook of water or whatever have you, but that would meaning would be nothing to it. There would be no meaning of jealousy. There'd be no meaning of love and romance. There'd be no meaning of sinfulness in the thoughts and hearts of that person's life. But here was a husband who saw this individual be a friend to his wife. But he would be so jealous, as Proverbs 6:34 says, with rage within himself, that he would make an accusation unfounded. And he would make that accusation boldly and publicly. And if she, in fact, was just a friend, she could drink that bitter water and it not affect her. But it would affect him because he made a false accusation because he was talking from a heart of jealousy, rage within himself for her. What kind of life is it lived when we find ourselves in jealous situations? Is it a life that is filled with love as described in the passage of 1 Corinthians 13 at 7 and 8? Is it a passage that is found within our hearts or lives that we love iniquity rather than good? Or is it the case that we find ourselves being as sure as we can, as he says here in 2 Corinthians 10, measuring ourselves by the standard of the Lord? Look at verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 10 at verse 17. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not that he commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth," he's the one approved. Not because he says, "I'm a servant of God and I'm a lover of God and I'm doing the right and righteous things of God." No, that doesn't make it so. Words are words that he has spoken. But when he says, "I don't commend myself with myself, I commend myself unto God. And I allow God to commend me. I allow God to tell others, this is the way." Well, when will God tell others this is the way that's right and good? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul says, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in the body, in our physical bodies, according that we have done, whether it be good or evil. In this instance, it's done good. But there is a jealousy, a rage of a man on the other side of the coin. Does he have accountability for what he feels in his heart toward the person with whom he's jealous? A hatred, a vengeance. Rage is an advancement of someone's anger. Rage is a way of life that is so terrible that it goes, extends itself without any reason but that it's within that heart, believing that that's the case, and thus the hurt and harm is being done. Wouldn't we rather God Himself commend us? Wouldn't we rather have the Lord to commend our way of life? Could Simon, in Acts chapter 8, could he commend himself before God, desiring the power of the apostleship? No, he couldn't. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God, Simon Peter told him. He came to himself and he realized, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you have spoken may come upon me. I don't want to be in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. I want to be commended by God. I want to be what God wants me to be. And he repented of that. Repent, therefore, and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Wouldn't it be wonderful at judgment scene to be there at that time and say, here is a sinner saved by my grace. For this person didn't stay with his sin. And there are many, many in the Bible that show us that very example. Did David stay with his sin? No. His heart was a matter of coming back to God. Did Saul stay with his sin? Yes, he did. And as the reading is given regarding Saul's life, in 2 Samuel chapter 20 and at verse 3, he tells us about Saul and about his way before God and how sad it was. He did not turn from his way. He didn't turn from his hatred. He didn't turn from the way that he was. Young David was a friend to his son, Jonathan. And there was a closeness with them. Jonathan says to him, my father will not hurt you. He tells me everything. There's no indication in the scripture that that wasn't a true statement. That Saul told to Jonathan every plan that he did, every battle that he was entering into, every circumstance of life he was wanting to be victor over. He told him, but he says, Jonathan says to David, my father never said he was going to take your life. Where did Saul have it within his heart to take the life of David? David recognized that kind of feeling, that kind of rage. And in 2 Samuel 19, we read where David was in the presence of Saul, the king. And Saul had the javelin, a weapon of war, in his hand. You could almost see him tapping it on the floor. Or maybe tapping it on a table or desk or something like that. He was just tapping it. And he was thinking as he tapped it how vicious this was and how powerful a weapon it was and how he could arise in a moment and fling it at David and take his life. So David says to Jonathan, why is your father this way toward me? Why is he this way? No, he's not that way toward you because he tells me everything and he's not said anything against you. to me. Jonathan was assured that that was the way it was. He could not read within the heart of his own dad. But David says on that occasion something for you and me all the way down the stream of time. He says, there is but a step between me and death. When I'm talking to you about your dad and his feeling toward me, there is but a step between death and me. We find ourselves with a heartbeat. We know more about it from the standpoint of our medical science, and we know more about that way. And sometimes the heart can be brought back, and so can the spirit of life be re-entered into that body and brought back. But there's occasion for us to not be jealous over someone's health in life, jealous over someone's actions in life, and feel within us a rage that is built toward that individual that rejoices in their hurt, rejoices in their being compared to themselves, rejoices in the way of wickedness. That's not the way to live and do and be. We're to be people who do not rule our lives by being jealous of others. In regard to this matter, we read regarding this, where God uses that standard of jealousy, it must be so powerful within the life of an individual that God says there in 2 Corinthians 11, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve, going back all the way to the beginning, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, which ye have received, another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of the apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He goes on to talk about the things that rage brings about from people. And he says the following in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 11. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking unto me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I keep myself. As the truth of Christ, notice that, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting. In the regions of Achaia, I'm headed over to Achaia. I'm going to tell them about you. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. God knows if I'm saying this to be boastful about you or to be commending of you. God knows my heart, and He knows my heart to tell you the truth and tell them the truth. And I enjoy this way of life. So it is that there are false prophets that are going to come, false apostles that are going to come, false teaching that's going to be done. And down the stream of time, what we read here came about. And as they had that false teaching to be done, what did the members of the early church do? Did they continue on the way of investigating and looking at it? As the church at Ephesus found that false teaching to be done, they did. But in the process of looking at it and finding those who claimed to be apostles, and they were not, it says, they found themselves leaving something very important that God had placed within their hearts. They had left their first love. Ephesus had left its first love. What did they replace that love with? I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But I do know that Paul is dealing with some of this stuff right here. That's the actions of jealousy, the rage of a man. They found themselves looking at a situation that was going on and telling people, you're not an apostle, you don't qualify to be an apostle, and proving the case. But they proved it in such a rough way, or in such a mean-spirited way, or in such a way that it would not get the heart of that person to say, you're exactly right, and I'm so sorry, and I want God's forgiveness about this. God was not the first time entered into the picture with these brethren at Ephesus, telling them that they were not properly apostles of the Lord. They were not. But they were claiming to be what they were not. Sad it is that that was the case in their lives. And God used that jealousy to provoke people. Paul used that jealousy to provoke them to being faithful to him and his coming to them saying, you know, it was not for my sake that I boasted of you. It is because God himself recognizes what you have done in my behalf. Wonderful is the work of the Lord in our lives when we leave the realm of jealousy and go within the path of love as it is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's be people who serve the cause of God in a meaningful way. Let's be people who do not ever fail to pray about God and His way of life within our own hearts and lives. Let's not be fearful of asking others to pray for us and be with us, because that is a way in which we will be wonderfully blessed at the judgment scene. Because Paul describes there in 1 Corinthians 5 at 10 and verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We preach this to you. We teach it to you. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. He's going to be terrible to those who within their heart of hearts found themselves doing things out of jealousy, hatred for their fellow man, despisement of their fellow family people because they were jealous of them. Let's avoid that and appear before the Lord at the judgment, having repented of that, so that He will recognize us as that faithful people of which He recognized Paul as a faithful person of the Lord. That's why I know within my heart of hearts that when Paul said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's talking about righteous things here. He's talking about a way of life that he's lived, a way of life that he's served, and he says this is a way of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And then he mentions all of us that will be that way. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Not going to be jealous over his appearing, we're going to be loving his appearing. Look forward to his appearing. Find ourselves growing with that hope. The Lord's coming is going to be sooner or later. we anticipate it to be sooner than later. In our generation, we do. But it may be even later. But the Lord Himself well knows how we were and what we did within our heart. If we were genuine or if we were jealous of others. The song provided tonight extends that invitation to us all, and that's the way we ought to be. Would you stand and let's sing together this song.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Every walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, and for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely o'er to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Do we have any other announcements this evening? Yeah, it's good to have you back, and it's good to be here.
Indeed.
Let's turn to number 345. 345, after the song is over.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, am I? Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted even me, love lifted even me, love lifted even me.
God, Father, we thank You for Your love and care for us all, for the instruction of Thy holy word, to practice some ways of life filled with love and care for others, and not to commend ourselves among ourselves, but to be people who are thoughtful of others and hoping that every one of us will follow Thy word and Thy will, because it reveals to us the truth of Thy heart. We love Thee, and we thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.